Morning. I've appreciated the service so far this morning. It's been a really good service. Appreciate y'all being willing to share and being open, and we can pray for each other in that way. It's beautiful to see. The title of or the subject of my message this morning is Tommy. Okay, it's actually perfection, which he considered himself about the same, so. Would all the perfect people please stand up? Yeah, come on. I was hoping you'd all stand up. We could have sat back down, we could have gone to eat lunch. We often hear that phrase, nobody's perfect. How many of us agree with that? Everybody, okay? We might have a little bit of a problem here. We all agree nobody's perfect. But last year, while we were in Cambodia, I was reading through the New Testament, and I kept coming across this theme of perfection. We are told to be perfect over and over again. And I kind of struggled with that. How can we as humans be perfect? It doesn't seem like it's possible. And I know my dad preached on this. In fact, I called him, and I got his notes. It was 2003 when he preached about it, and I still remember that. So I got my dad's notes and pulled some info out of there, and I dug into this subject. So that's what we're going to be talking about, being perfect in the eyes of God, not being perfect in the eyes of each other, being perfect in the eyes of God. Matthew chapter 5, verse 48, that I'm going to be reading one verse for my main text, kind of unusual, but it was either read the whole chapter or just read one verse. So I decided for time's sake just to start with chapter verse 48. And I see for time's sake I need to keep moving already. Matthew chapter 5, verse 48. Therefore, and remember that word therefore, we'll come back and touch on this chapter just a little bit. You shall be perfect, just as your Father in heaven is perfect. A command from Jesus right there. You shall be perfect. Perfect like God is perfect. We look at that and we think, this is impossible. It's impossible. It's impossible to be perfect. But would Jesus give us a command that is impossible to fulfill? Imagine how frustrating it would be as a Christian if the Bible were full of commands that were impossible to keep. Not many of us would remain Christians if the Bible were full of impossible commands. So if Jesus said it, it has to be possible for us. He wouldn't say it if it wouldn't be. So let's find out how to fulfill this. Let's first look at some biblical examples of perfect men. And I have a lot of scriptures this morning, and I know Elvin is going to tell me I need to do a PowerPoint. Jeremy's going to agree. Maybe next time I preach. I haven't got there yet. So I have most of my scriptures printed out on paper. If you can't keep up, that's fine. But I'm going to be using a lot of different scriptures this morning. First thing I think of when I think of Old Testament and perfection is creation. After 6 days, God looked at what he did and said it was very good. If God says it's very good, it's perfect. His creation was perfect. We all know that didn't last very long because humans, Adam and Eve, they messed it up. If they wouldn't have done that, well, I probably would have. Next, we look at Genesis chapter 6, verse 8. But Noah found grace in the eyes of the Lord. This is the genealogy of Noah. Noah was a just man, perfect in his generations. And Noah what? Walked with God. It says he was perfect. The chapter before this is talking about Enoch. What happened to Enoch? He walked with God and he was no more. He was a perfect man. God just, he didn't have to go through the pain and suffering of death. God just took him up to heaven. Genesis chapter 17, verse 1. Talking about Abraham. Was Abraham perfect? We look at him as humans like, there's no way this guy was perfect. He made a lot of mistakes. Think of when he went to Egypt and he told the people that Sarah was his sister. Perfect people don't do that, right? Genesis chapter 17, verse 1. When Abram was 99 years old, the Lord appeared to Abram and said, I am Almighty God. Walk before me and be blameless. Or the King James would say perfect. New King James takes the word perfect most times and translates it to blameless, which is a little easier for us to handle than perfect. but it's more or less the same thing. I am Almighty God. Walk before me and be blameless. And I will make my covenant between me and you and will multiply you exceedingly. And then Abram fell on his face and God talked with him. And it goes on to say what the covenant would be. And through that he asked Abram to be circumcised and he complied at 99 years old and all his household. He obeyed God. What else? So those three examples, Enoch, Noah, Abram, what did they have in common? They walked with God. Every scripture that talks, when it says that they are blameless or perfect, it also says they walked with God. And if you look at their lives, they have obedience. They were obedient. Noah built an ark. People thought he was crazy. I don't think it even rained yet, much less flooded. But yet he built this huge ark. And he didn't argue with God. He didn't try to say, well, use this material, it's easier to work with. Or he obeyed God. He was a perfect man. He was a just man. Abraham was asked to sacrifice his only son. And he left to go do it. He didn't wait 2 weeks and push it off and push it off. He left right away. We all know those stories. Another Old Testament example is Job. Job 1 verse 1 says, he was a blameless or perfect and upright. He feared God and he shunned evil. And even later in that chapter, God told Satan twice, have you considered my servant Job? God said this about Job. He's a just man. He's perfect. He fears God and he shuns evil. Job was a perfect man. But we look at him from a human standpoint, and as we read through the book, we realize he had some flaws in our eyes. But God called him a perfect man. So we see a few key elements of achieving perfection. Walking with God. You can't do it without that. Obedience to God's commands. We can't do it without that. Job was upright. He feared God and he shunned evil. He had nothing to do with evil. Those are some of the key elements of achieving perfection. But what about the New Testament? I already read out of Matthew chapter 5, and like I said, I either had to read the whole chapter or just one verse. If you read that chapter, it's the beginning of the Sermon on the Mount. Blessed are the pure. I mean, it goes on and on. You have heard it said, thou shalt love your neighbor, but hate your enemies, but I say unto you. He went through this whole chapter of different things that they need to do. And at the end, he said, therefore, because of what I've just said to you, if you do these things, you shall be perfect, even as your Father in heaven is perfect. Perfect in the eyes of God. Turn to Matthew chapter 19. Verses 20 through 22. Familiar story here. The rich young ruler. He was the one that came to Jesus and said, what must I do to have eternal life? And Jesus said, well, you got to keep the commandments. Well, which ones? And he went over the ones he needed to keep. And the guy's like, well, I've kept all of those. What else do I have to do? And then Jesus hit him where it hurts. He said, all these things I've kept from my youth. What do I still lack? Jesus said to him, if you want to be perfect, go. Sell what you have and give to the poor, and you will have treasure in heaven, and come, follow me. And the rich young ruler turned and walked away. He wasn't willing to do it. God told him one thing he has to do to achieve perfection. He wouldn't do it. Why? Because it was important to him. That money, those possessions, those things he had, were more important to him than being perfect in the eyes of God. Am I saying that we can't have wealth and be perfect? That's not what I'm saying. How important is that wealth to us? How important is our house and our cars? How important is it to us? Is it between us and God? If it is, we will never achieve godly perfection. If you look in the Acts, the early church, what did they do? They sold everything and they split it amongst themselves. They all had what they need. And what happened to that church? It flourished. People were added to the church daily. I believe because they were living godly perfection lives. There was nothing more important to them than serving God. They walked with God. They sold the things they had so that everybody among them could live equally. That was their main goal, was to serve God with their whole hearts. So, walk with God, obey His commands, fully commit to Him no matter the cost. The rich young ruler could have had that godly perfection, but he wasn't willing. The sacrifice was too great. We look at Old Testament kings. If you read through 1 and 2 Kings, 1 and 2 Chronicles, the nation of Israel had good kings, bad kings, over and over, up and down. When they had good kings, the nation prospered. When they had bad kings, they started worshiping idols and things went bad. What did those good kings do? They all had some things in common. They walked with God. They had pure hearts. They had good hearts. They did what was right. They threw down the idols. They tore them down. They threw them out. They got rid of things that people had put between themselves and God. And the godly kings came in and they tore all that out. They got rid of it. God was first. That was their first priority. They walked in the ways of their godly fathers. They followed God. Each one of them, it says, they had a good heart, a godly heart. But it seems like there's still something missing. I mean, we're still human. How are we going to achieve this perfection? And if we feel we've achieved it, how are we going to maintain it? Because we're humans. We're going to mess up. I think some of this we have to look at is perfection in God's eyes is a little different than perfection in our own eyes. Jerry, I like him pretty good. But there's some things that make him imperfect. Like, we had a meeting yesterday morning, he spilled coffee on himself. Perfect people don't do that. Sorry, Jared, I had to pick on you. But some of those things are just more of an annoyance than they really are an imperfection. Will that spilling coffee keep him out of heaven? He talks a lot more than I do, believe it or not. Will that keep him out of heaven? It's just annoying. That's a quote from Elvin, not me. Elvin's leaving in a few hours, so he can say that. But that's the things we look at as humans. We look at some of those little flaws that just drive us crazy. And we could say, that person is not perfect because they annoy me. But what do those things really, some of those things, what do they really matter for eternity? Turn to Hebrews chapter 10. And I decided last minute to add a few verses, so I have to turn there as well. Hebrews chapter 10, verse 1. Verses 1 through 4. For the law, having a shadow of the good things to come, and not the very image of the things, can never, with these same sacrifices, which they offer continually, year by year, make those who approach perfect. The law couldn't do it. The law and all the sacrifices could not make people perfect. For then, would they have not ceased to be offered? For the worshippers, once purified, would have had no more consciousness of sins. But in those sacrifices there is a reminder of sins every year. For it is not possible that the blood of bulls and goats could take away sins. The blood of the bulls and the goats could not make them perfect. It wasn't possible. Jump over to verse 12. But this man, capital M, Jesus, after he had offered one sacrifice for sins forever, sat down at the right hand of God. From that time, waiting till his enemies are made his footstool. For by one offering, he has perfected forever those who are being sanctified. By one offering, by one sacrifice, he has perfected us. Perfected those who are being what? Sanctified. Who are being set apart. Sanctified means set apart. If you go back to the Old Testament, you see that over and over and over and over. Be set apart. The nation of Israel. You can't mingle with those other nations. You are my chosen people, not them. You can't intermarry with them. We don't apply it in the same physical way today, but we would say, be not unequally yoked, correct? Don't marry someone from the world. We are set apart. We are to be sanctified because Christ perfected us with that death on the cross if we are set apart. 2 Corinthians 6, 17 through chapter 7, verse 1. Therefore, come out from among them and be separate, says the Lord. Do not touch what is unclean, and I will receive you. This was an Old Testament quote. Verse 18, I will be a father to you, and you shall be my sons and daughters, says the Lord Almighty. Therefore, having these promises, The promise which he just made in verse 18, which he says, I'll be your father, you'll be my sons and daughters. That's a promise we have for God. Therefore, having these promises, beloved, let us cleanse ourselves from all filthiness of the flesh and spirit, perfecting holiness in the fear of God. You want to achieve perfection? You want to perfect your holiness? You have to be set apart. You have to put away all the uncleanness, all the filthiness. You got to get rid of it. You can't even get close to it. We like to say, don't touch it with a 10-foot pole. I encourage you, use a 20-foot pole. Don't get close to it. We have to be set apart. We have to be separate from the world, from sin. It won't enter heaven. Revelations 21, verse 27 says, There shall by no means enter it, talking about heaven, anything that defiles or causes an abomination or a lie, but only those who are written in the Lamb's Book of Life. There is no filthiness of any kind going to enter heaven. And we all want to enter heaven. Philippians chapter 2, verses 14 and 15. Do all things without complaining and disputing, that you may become blameless or perfect, and harmless or innocent, children of God without fault in the midst of a crooked and perverse generation, among whom you shine as lights in the world. Who all feels we are living in a crooked and perverse generation right now? Definitely. But Philippians says to do all things without complaining or disputing. If we as a church have disputes among each other, people from the world are going to see that. They notice that. That's not perfect. That doesn't look good. We are supposed to be children of God, perfect and innocent, without fault in the midst of this crooked and perverse generation. And if we can achieve that, we will shine as lights in the world. We see it over and over. We are called to perfection. It's a big responsibility. It's a big. Don't look at it as a burden, but it's a lot to try to achieve. We can't do it on our own, but because of what Christ has done for us, He has perfected us. But there are still many things that we have to do to maintain that. There's many commands in the Bible that we need to fulfill. Colossians chapter 1, 21 through 23. And you, who once were alienated and enemies in your mind by wicked works, yet now He has reconciled in the body of His flesh through death. We were alienated because of our sin, because of our human nature. We were alienated from God. But Jesus reconciled us to God. To the Almighty, the Perfect, the Holy God. Jesus reconciled us through His death on the cross. So that He can, in verse 22, present you holy and blameless, or perfect. Jesus can present us holy and perfect and above reproach in His sight. In whose sight? In God's sight. Is God perfect? Absolutely. He's holy. He does not make mistakes. He is above reproach, beyond it. And Jesus will be able to present us holy and blameless, above reproach in the sight of God. I can't wait. I can't wait. And then He goes on to say, if, one little word, if, Jesus will present us holy and faultless, if indeed you continue in the faith, grounded and steadfast. Know what you believe and stand on it. And are not moved away from the hope of the gospel which you heard, which was preached to every creature under heaven, of which I, Paul, became a minister. That's another requirement. Continue in the faith. Know where you stand. Don't be easily swayed. Jumping down to verse 28 of Colossians chapter 1. And Paul is saying, Him we preach, Jesus, or God we preach, warning every man and teaching every man in all wisdom that we may present every man perfect in Christ Jesus. That's another one of our responsibilities. Not just as those of us who come up here and preach. But if you see somebody straying, talk to them. We have that responsibility. Last week, Brother Lucas said, we are not called to gossip. We are called to gospel. If you see someone straying, go talk to them. That's our responsibility. Paul says we can present each other perfect in Christ Jesus. It's part of our responsibility to help each other stay on the right path. Ephesians chapter 5 goes right along with that. Paul is saying we can present every man perfect in Christ Jesus. Ephesians chapter 5, husbands, love your wives. Okay, what's that got to do with being perfect? Well, you might want to try it. Husbands, love your wives, just as Christ also loved the church and gave himself for her that he might sanctify and cleanse her with the washing of water by the word, that he might present her to himself a glorious church, not having a spot or wrinkle or any such thing. Perfect. But that she should be holy and without blemish. That's what Jesus is willing to do for us, so that he can present us to Christ holy and perfect, with not even a spot. So husbands ought to love their wives as their own bodies. He who loves his wife loves himself. For no one ever hated his own flesh, but nourishes and cherishes it, just as the Lord does the church. For we are members of his body, of his flesh, and of his bones. We are to love each other. We are to love our wives. I just preached on headship last time, and that ties right in with this idea of godly perfection. You want to achieve godly perfection? Love your wives. Don't just love your wives. Love them the way Christ loved the church. He loved the church so that he can present them perfect and faultless to God, the Almighty God. We are to do the same for our wives. James chapter 1, verses 2 through 4. My brethren, count it all joy when you fall into various trials, knowing that the testing of your faith produces patience. But let patience have its perfect work, that you may be perfect and complete, lacking nothing. We're going to go through trials. Bring them on. Count it all joy. Why? Because we know God will help us get through that, and that is another step towards perfection. We let patience have its perfect work, that you may be perfect and complete, lacking nothing. God will take care of us. We will be lacking nothing. Romans chapter 12, verse 1 and 2. This is very familiar. I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable to God, which is your reasonable service. And do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed. There again, be set apart. Be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. It says it's just a reasonable service. What Christ has done for us, this should be just, it's just what's expected of us. It shouldn't be a problem at all. Be transformed by the renewing of your mind. 2 Timothy chapter 3, verses 14 through 17. Another few steps to achieve perfection. But you must continue in the things which you have learned and been assured of. Continue in the things which you have learned and been assured of, knowing from whom you learned them, and that from childhood you have known the Holy Scriptures, which are able to make you wise for salvation through faith which is in Christ Jesus. All Scripture is given by inspiration of God, and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be complete. If you are complete, you are perfect. That the man of God may be complete, thoroughly equipped for every good work. You want to be perfect? This has a lot to do with it. The Scripture. It says, all Scripture is given by inspiration of God, and it's profitable for what? For doctrine. You want to know what you believe and where you stand? It's in here. Study it. Know it. It's profitable for doctrine. It's profitable for reproof. I said earlier, if you see someone straying, go talk to them. Take your Bible with you. If what they're doing doesn't line up with the Bible will help you help them understand. It's profitable for reproof. It's profitable for correction. You don't go correct someone just because they're annoying you. But if they're not living according to the Scripture, take your Bible. It's profitable for correction. and for instruction for righteousness. Four things the Scripture is very useful for. And there's many more, but it's profitable for doctrine, reproof, correction, and instruction in righteousness. If you follow those, that the man of God may be complete. First John chapter 3. Behold what manner of love the Father has bestowed on us, that we should be called children of God. Therefore the world does not know us, because it did not know him. Beloved, now we are children of God, and it has not yet been revealed what we should be, but we know that when he is revealed, we shall be like him, for we shall see him as he is. And everyone who has this hope in him purifies himself, just as he is pure. Trusting in Jesus, knowing that we are his children, knowing that he's coming back for us, very important. And this chapter goes on. I'm going to read through some of it quickly because there's a few things in here that are very important to achieving perfection in the eyes of God. Whoever commits sin also commits lawlessness, and sin is lawlessness. And you know that he was manifested to take away our sins, and in him there is no sin. Whoever abides in him does not sin. Whoever sins has neither seen him nor known him. We already said that sin will not enter heaven. Little children, let no one deceive you. He who practices righteousness is righteous, just as he is righteous, just as God is righteous. He who sins is of the devil, for the devil has sinned from the beginning. For this purpose the Son of God was manifested, that he might destroy the works of the devil. Whoever has been born of God does not sin, for his seed remains in him, and he cannot sin because he has been born of God. In this the children of God and the children of the devil are manifest. Whoever does not practice righteousness is not of God. That's pretty simple. Whoever does not practice righteousness is not of God, nor is he who does not love his brother. That one hits a little closer home. We see people that are not living right. They don't belong to God. That's pretty easy to see. Also, nor is he who does not love his brother. For this is the message that you heard from the beginning, that we should love one another. Very, very, very vital part of our lives. We need to love each other as Christ loved us, as Christ loved the church. Can't do without it. You want to achieve perfection? We need to love our brother, even though they have flaws that may just drive us crazy. In closing, turn to the book of Jude. Book of Jude, verse 22. And on some have compassion, making a distinction, but others save with fear, pulling them out of the fire, hating even the garment defiled by the flesh. Do what we can to help save those we see going the wrong way, but have nothing to do with the sin that defiles them. We have to distinguish between the two. We have to love the sinner, but we can have nothing to do with the sin. Snatch them out of the fire. Verse 24. Now to him who is able to keep you from stumbling. 1 John chapter 3 says, if you are of God, we will not sin. And that feels almost impossible at times because we're human. We all make mistakes. One of the keys is realizing when we make those mistakes and being able to repent and make it right. But Jesus is able to keep us from stumbling. Verse 24, now to him who is able to keep you from stumbling and to present you faultless before the presence of his glory with exceeding joy. Jesus cannot wait to do that. To present each one of us faultless to his God, to his Father. He wants nothing more than to do that. Will we allow him to do that? He can do that for us. There are steps we have to take on our own. But Jesus will present us faultless before the only God, the holy God, the pure, the perfect God. Jesus will present each one of us faultless before him if we allow him. Verse 25, to God our Savior, who alone is wise, be glory and majesty, dominion and power, both now and forever. Amen. Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, We thank you for another beautiful day, Lord. We thank you so much for your word, for what your son did on the cross for us. The fact that he is willing and able to present us faultless and perfect before you on that judgment day, Lord. Just ask you would help each one of us to dig into your word and to study it and to live our lives according to your word. Lord, just ask you would be with the remainder of the service, Lord. I ask in your name. Amen.